Hello and welcome to What's the Big Idea? I'm your host, Andrew Whitmire. Today's episode is brought to you by Destination Imagination, commonly referred to as DI, the leading creative problem-solving experience for children. Through DI's innovative, project-based educational experiences, participants gain the skills that will set them up for success in careers like the one we're going to hear about today. Learn more about DI at destinationimagination.org. On today's episode, we're pleased to welcome Oakley Thiele. Oakley Thiele is a disabled artist and activist currently living in Illinois with her service dog, Coco. She is the co-founder of the My Dearest Friends Project, an art collaboration that collects stories from disabled people around the world. Joining us today from Springfield, Illinois, please welcome Oakley Thiele. Hey, Oakley, how are you doing?
Hi, Andrew. I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. My name is Oakley Thiele. I am a white cis woman. I have brown curly hair. I'm wearing purple AFO braces, and I've got a tattoo of my wheelchair with flames coming out of its wheels on my arm.
Yeah.
I'm currently sitting in my art studio.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us. So excited to have you on the What's the Big Idea podcast today. If you wouldn't mind, for our listeners, if you could just, you know, give us a little bit of a description of what your job is and your work is like. We'd love to hear more about it.
So I am a protest artist and a disability rights activist. So my workday never really looks the same. I make art that addresses systemic discrimination within academic and artistic institutions. I write articles from my perspective as a young disabled person, and I give public speeches about accessibility. My work has taken me all across the United States, and I get to collaborate with so many cool people and organizations. So I absolutely love my job, and I can't believe that I get to do this for a living.
Wow, that is incredible. It sounds like you have just had a really sort of interesting career in a space that really needs to have additional light shined upon it. So thank you for your work and your efforts and your energy in this space. You know, in Destination Imagination, we talk a lot about what we call the four C's. So that's communication, collaboration, critical thinking, and creativity. So, you know, given your deep experience as an activist and an artist, which of those four skills would you say you access most regularly in your work?
Oh, gosh. Okay. These are all great skills to have. I use every single one of these every single time I work. I think a really interesting one, though, is communication. In my work, I really emphasize accessible communication. My art celebrates disability, and it's extremely important to me that everyone in the disability community can have access to it. So there's a lot of different ways that I make my communication more accessible. At the bottom of my work emails, it always says, you know, my name, links to my website and projects. And then it says, I aim to be an inclusive communicator. If you have any communication related access needs, please let me know. And the best way to build an accessible environment is to really just ask disabled people what our access needs are. I love when people ask me what my access needs are because it makes me feel included and cared for. And it takes away a lot of anxiety because I'm not wondering, you know, will this activity be accessible for me? Another thing is image descriptions. An image description is a few sentences that describe the visual elements in an image. So for example, if I were to write an image description for the Destination Imagination logo, I'd write something like, you know, white sans serif text reads Destination Imagination. To the left of this text is a three-dimensional purple cube, and an orange sphere. The sphere is slightly higher and to the right of the cube, and the upper right corner of the cube overlaps the sphere. So image descriptions make communication more accessible for individuals with processing disorders or visual impairments. Anytime that I publish an image, I always pair an image description with it. So I have image descriptions on my Instagram post, on my exhibition posters. I even have image descriptions hanging on the gallery wall right next to my paintings. So that's a huge part of my work. And lastly, another thing that I do is add open captioning to all of my videos. So there is a difference between open captioning and closed captioning. Open captions are always visible on the screen and cannot be turned off, whereas closed captionings can be turned off and on. But I always say that like accessibility is, it helps everyone. How many times have you tried to watch a video in a loud space and you relied on captions instead of trying to listen to the audio? Or how many times have you tried to read small text that's overlaid on an Instagram photo? An image description could help with that. So you don't have to be disabled to benefit from accessibility.
Wow. Yeah, that it's so interesting because really what you're describing on the surface is such a simple thing that I think we all could be doing more of in order to help, as you say, like grow the inclusivity of being accessible and making sure that how we are sort of moving through the world, you're really sort of asking folks to be understanding of other people, other needs, other perspectives. And I think what you're describing is definitely something that, that, you know, individuals could do more of. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So one of the questions that we'd love to learn more about is really around your own personal creative process. Obviously, as an artist, you have your own approach to making and producing art. And so we're really interested to learn how you approach your own personal creative process, especially looking at maybe how you might adapt your artistic tools to meet whatever your personal needs are in creating your art.
Yeah. So in 2020, I was diagnosed with tether cord syndrome, which is a rare neurological disorder where the spinal cord becomes attached to surrounding tissues of the spine. This condition has caused a lot of widespread chronic pain and fatigue. It has impacted my ability to walk. And as a result, it's become very painful to create work like I used to. So I actually started to make my own adaptive art making tools. So for example, I would take a long wooden rod and I would tape a piece of charcoal to one end and a paintbrush to the other. And this tool would allow me to sit in one place and draw really large portraits without using as much energy. Recently I've started to make art from bed as well. It's just easier for me to be lying down rather than sitting up or standing. And I had to really let go of my idea of what I think my art studio needs to look like or what I think my art practice needs to look like. Artists like Matisse and Frida Kahlo, both of them famously made art from bed. That has really helped me sort of embrace my new way of working, you know, finding other disabled artists that sort of work the way that I do.
Yeah. So it sounds like finding community has been an important part of you being able to express yourself creatively and through your particular process in some way.
Oh yeah, for sure. Community is a huge part of it for me. I don't think I would have, how do I put it? I have grown so much confidence in my disabled identity, and I attribute that a lot to finding my community and finding other disabled people and other disabled artists that understand what it's like, for sure.
So I could imagine that there might be some folks who are listening to this podcast that would consider themselves to both be an artist and also someone who would consider themselves to have some sort of disability. What kind of advice might you offer to those folks who are maybe in a similar position as you and sort of looking for outlets or ways to overcome some of the challenges they may be facing in order to really access and tap into their creativity to produce art?
Yeah. So one of the best pieces of advice that I've been given was actually from my husband. And he always says rest is productive. And I think that as disabled artists, it's really critical for us to view rest as being productive. I used to spend a lot of my time beating myself up because my disabled body could not spend as much time in the studio as my non-disabled peers. And I think living in a society where they value work and production over everything, it can be really hard to break away from that and to just let your body, you know, meet your body wherever it needs to be that day. I think it's important to listen to your body. And if your body wants to make art, then make art. But if your body needs to rest, then rest now and make art later. And so instead of being angry at myself now, I choose to rest joyfully and sort of having that shift in sort of my mental state, my mental way of approaching it. It's really helped me sort of with that. And as far as like student artist goes, I think if you're a young person and you're a student and you're wanting to become an artist, one of the best things that you can do is be proactive. Send in applications, approach galleries and ask if they'll show your work. Contact organizations yourself and see if they'll collaborate with you. At the start of my career, I was told by so many people that you can't just go to organizations or galleries or people and ask them, you know, if they want to collaborate. And I'm so glad that I ignored those people because some of my best collaborations and actually even some of my greatest friends have come from me just, you know, cold calling or just emailing people and saying, you know, hey, I know you don't know me, but I love what you do. And we've got a similar mission and I think we should collaborate.
Oh, wow. I love that. I think what you're hitting on there is what a lot of business people would call networking. I'm air quoting that, right? But it's so true. And it sort of almost ties back to how you were describing, like finding your community and people who mm-hmm. you can trust and who can lift you up as an artist and someone of differing needs as well. Like you've really shown us that sort of progression, I think, today and how sort of you answered some of these questions. And it's great to hear. Great to hear. Thanks. So finally, one of the questions we'd like to ask is to hear a little bit more about the project that you are excited about, My Dearest Friends. So could mm-hmm. you share with us and our listeners a little bit about what inspired you to take on this project?
Yeah. So in March of 2020, I collaborated with DisArt, which is an arts and cultural nonprofit based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. During the COVID-19 pandemic, DisArt and I both felt like the media was talking about disabled people, but not talking to disabled people. And so we really wanted to build a public platform where disabled people could share their own stories and we weren't sure exactly how we were going to do this. But after meeting with DisArt, I left to go brainstorm and work in my studio, which is where I ended up writing the very first My Dearest Friends poem. And the poem goes like this. It's, "My dearest friends, we mustn't let this be forgotten. The time the world gained perspective on a small portion of our struggles. We must make sure that this moment goes down in history so that we can build a better world, a more accessible world, a world for everyone, a world for us. Oakley." And so DisArt and I decided to post this poem on Instagram, and we asked the disability community to respond with their own stories using the same format. So participants start off with the phrase, "My dearest friends." They write about their experiences with disability, and they sign off with their first name or pseudonym. And the My Dearest Friends project has really become a way of archiving the disabled experience during the COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, I think it was comforting in a way for disabled people to be able to vent and process their feelings, and to be able to visit the page and find solace in our shared experiences. Every time we receive a submission, DisArt and I archive it, and then I create a custom illustration that is paired with each story. And then we publish the stories with their illustrations on Instagram. So 3 years later, the Dearest Friends project is still continuing to this day. We've started bringing this project from the digital space into the physical realm by partnering with institutions like the Grand Rapids Art Museum, the Grand Rapids Children's Museum, Mary Freebed, local schools. And we produce large-scale vinyl installations that feature the Dearest Friends project and their stories and the illustrations. So this project is incredibly near and dear to my heart. It's so cool seeing how far it's grown. We've received submissions from Germany, Australia, Africa, literally all over the globe. We've had submissions sent to us in Braille, in video format, in different languages. And I think it's just a really fantastic example of how art can really bring together the global disability community. It's a great example of authentic disability representation as well. It's really hard for disabled people to find themselves, you know, in stores or movies or advertisements. But if you open up the Dearest Friends page on Instagram, you can find hundreds of illustrations of people with invisible disabilities or people using mobility aids or young people, old people. Like, it's such a wide representation, and it's coming. These stories are collected from everywhere all over the globe, which is incredible.
Wow.
It's very much a community. Oh, sorry. It's a very much a community effort. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
I just keep hearing this thread through the answers to all of your questions. It really keeps coming back to community and communication for me. It seems like it's such a cornerstone of your activism and such a cornerstone of really your work.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
So thank you so much for sharing a little bit about My Dearest Friends. We've got some rapid fire questions that we'd love to ask you, if that's okay. So we're asking you to, you know, just provide your gut reaction, sort of one word answers or a couple word answers if you need to, for the following questions. Are you game?
I'm scared, but let's go.
Okay. All right. We'll start out easy. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food. Oh no. Pizza, I guess.
You're after my own heart. I love a good slice. Can't say no. What is your wallpaper image on your cell phone, if you have one?
Oh, my wallpaper image is a picture of me and my husband on our wedding day.
Oh, yeah. That's so lovely. Okay. As a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be an elf working in Santa's workshop, and then I switched it and I wanted to be an artist.
I mean, you know, there's an artist thread with both. Thread. There's a connection there for sure. All right. If you started your own talk show, who would be the first person that you'd like to invite as a guest?
Oh my gosh. You know, I'd probably have to say my good friend, Claire Raymond. She's another incredible disability rights activist. She's a dancer, and just all around just a really cool person.
Awesome. Definitely have to look her up. And would you rather have the power of invisibility or the power of flight?
Oh gosh. Probably invisibility, because heights are not my thing.
That's totally fair. You always have the invisibility cloak, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple of final questions here. Is there anything else that we didn't get a chance to touch on that you'd love for our audience to know?
Yeah, I mean, I gave some advice for disabled artists, and also for just young art students in general, but I would also really love to, say something to disabled people in general, if that's okay as well.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, no matter where you are in your disability journey, whether you are born disabled or if your disability is newly acquired, whether you self-identify as disabled or if you're not quite comfortable putting a label on it yet, whether your disability is invisible or visible, I think, you know, it's okay to feel frustrated or angry or sad. It's okay to mourn your body. My entire career as an artist and as an activist is centered on celebrating disability. And I still have my bad days. I have days where I hate my disability and days where I'm embarrassed to use mobility aids. And sometimes I do mourn my old body and the things that I used to be able to do. But what matters is that I always return to this state of celebration. And I am so honored to be a part of the disability community. It's made up of some of the greatest people that I know. So I'm very proud to be disabled at the end of the day.
And finally, the last question, what big idea is exciting to you right now?
Oh gosh. Okay. I would have to say hashtag nothing special. The Dearest Friends Project was started during the COVID-19 pandemic, and we've continued to address difficult topics like mental health and accessibility in schools. After being diagnosed with tethered cord, I started to use a wheelchair, and I quickly learned that my college was not prepared to accommodate me. My wheelchair, my service dog, and I all got trapped in the so-called accessible bathroom stall. I had a security guard refer to me and my friend as the wheelchair people. I had to drop out of classes because some of the studios weren't large enough to accommodate my wheelchair. So I experienced all kinds of discrimination and inaccessibility at school. But the worst of it was their lack of an accessible evacuation plan. So when I asked them, you know, how am I supposed to leave the building in the case of a fire? My school literally had no answer. I had to beg them to put together a plan. And their solution was to have me sit in the stairwell and wait for help.
Oh, wow.
And honestly, all I could think was, you know, how can I trust them to care about my disabled life during an emergency when they showed me that they didn't care about my disabled life on an average day? And after doing research, I learned that this solution is a really common solution that many institutions provide, which is horrible. I mean, it's humiliating and dehumanizing to sit in a stairwell and wait and watch as, you know, the able-bodied students, you know, evacuate to safety. And just because it's always been done that way doesn't mean it needs to be done that way. So I approached DisArt with these issues, and we decided to release a campaign through the Dearest Friends Project called hashtag nothing special, where we asked disabled students and disabled professors to talk about their experiences with education and to call for a more accessible educational experience, because accessible education should be nothing special. The Dearest Friends Project is still collecting stories. So if you want to send in your story about your experiences with disability, it doesn't have to respond specifically to the hashtag nothing special campaign. You could totally just send in a general submission about your personal experiences with disability. You can email us at hello@mydearestfriendsproject.org, or you can visit our website, which is just www.dearestfriendsproject.org.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us on What's the Big Idea. It has been such a pleasure to hear from you and to learn more about your journey, your artistry, and your activism. And I encourage everyone who's listening to continue to support your work and to support the work of other disabled artists. Thank you so much, Oakley.
Thank you, Andrea. I had an amazing time.
We would like to acknowledge that this episode of What's the Big Idea was recorded on land originally inhabited and cultivated by the Delaware, Lenape, Miami, Potawatomi, and Shawnee Nations. We are grateful for this land and for the people who have stewarded it for generations. This episode was produced by Kelsey Selleck, with voiceover material produced by Don Offiero and Johnny Wells, with music by Kevin McLeod. Special thanks to our guest, Oakley Thiele, for joining us today. You can learn more about Oakley by visiting her website, oakleythiele.com. That's OAKLEETHIELE.com. Or by following her on Instagram. You can learn more about My Dearest Friends Project by visiting mydearestfriendsproject.org. To learn more about our show and about DI, visit us at destinationimagination.org. If you'd like to inspire even more big ideas for young people around the world, please consider making a charitable contribution to DI at destinationimagination.org/donate. I'm Andrew Whitmire. Thanks for listening to What's the Big Idea?
Ready to learn more about Destination Imagination? Join us online for a free introductory webinar. These information sessions are designed for parents, educators, and volunteers who are ready to learn more about DI's educational experiences and how to get involved. Sign up to attend a 45-minute live session or download one of our captioned videos on demand. Register today at destinationimagination.org/webinar. We'll see you there.
Destination Imagination taught me how to work as a member of a team.
Destination Imagination taught me leadership skills.
Destination Imagination taught me that there are infinite ways for me to express my creativity.
If you're ready to awaken creativity and ignite a love of learning for your child, join Destination Imagination today. Hi, I'm Johnny Wells, Director of Education at Destination Imagination. DI provides unique educational experiences that give students the opportunity to create projects, solve problems, learn new concepts, and have a great time in the process. Just listen to what some of our alumni have to say.
I use what I learned in DI to solve problems at work, at home, and in every aspect of my life.
I use what I learned in DI to give me confidence when I try something new.
I use what I learned in DI to make a positive impact within my community.
Today's DI participants are tomorrow's innovators, problem solvers, and leaders. If that sounds like a good fit for you and the young people in your life, we'd love to have you join us. To get started today, visit destinationimagination.org.